good. And his mercy endureth forever. I want you to turn to Philippians while the kids are going back. Philippians chapter 3. Wow, could you guys come back next week? That was awesome. Woo! That's powerful. Powerful. That's like heaven. That's like heaven. All right. The foundation of our church, the foundation of all churches, is obviously Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And what God wants in His church is that we confess our sins. A lot of churches don't teach that. Every day. All the time. And the reason for that is not so you go to heaven. The reason for that is not because, sins are destructive and so on and so forth. The reason for that is that's what God wants. He wants us to be like Him. And so He has told us, I want you to confess your sins, and sometimes one to another, but usually just to God alone. Now, that word in the Greek is homologeo. Homo means same, and logeo is speak. So when we same speak, we say the same thing God says. Whatever God says, we says. Whatever God does, we does. Whatever God wills, we will. So God doesn't want you to be you. He wants you to be His you. So He wants your death, and the way you do that, the way you suffer with Him, the way you fill up His sufferings, is you constantly look at how many times you lean to your own understanding, and you don't acknowledge Him. You don't actually think you only need Him. You think you need Him plus. But you don't need anything else but Him. And if you rely on your mind, and you're real smart, and you rely on your emotions, and you just kind of do whatever they push you to do, or you rely on your will, and you think, I'm a capable person. That's something that God doesn't want. That's called darkness. When you walk in darkness, you can't walk with God. Now, the reason for that is God's light. And in Him, there's absolutely no darkness at all. None. And in the Greek language, it says, no, not even any. It's very powerful. It's emphatic. So when we walk in the light as He is in the light, this is 1 John, when we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with God. And if you sin, if you mess up, if all of a sudden a sin comes to mind or He shows you something, all you do is confess it. Homologeo, you just say the same thing. God, that's true. Thank God I'm not having to handle that, but I confess. I say the same thing you say. That's wicked. That's dark. That's not going to help anybody else. Certainly doesn't. I don't need it either. I mean, no, sin doesn't pay. It isn't a good thing. When you get your own way, you actually lose then the fellowship with God. Now, the reason for our fellowship with God is not just so that we have fellowship with God. Not just that we worship God. The end of worship, that is what worship is all about. It doesn't stop when you stop singing or you stop dancing. It actually continues on into service to the neighbor. And that's the way God wants it. That's what He calls the light. It's the light when He forgives you, for sure. But it's also the light when He kills you, for sure. And it's also the light when you resurrect with Him, for sure, and walk in love. So what God wants is fellowship with us so that we can fellowship with one another. The foundation of the church, then, is fellowship, koinonia. Koinonia means that you gather together with other like-minded people to worship Him and to serve one another. Now, in the process, He has to kill your flesh, not you, but your flesh, the old you that died when Jesus died on the cross. And then the new you, that's the one that also, you're the light. Jesus is the light, but you and Jesus are now linked up together. You're actually not able to do anything apart from Him. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. You can't do anything. Not in God's sight. In our sight, we do quite a bit, but in God's sight, you do nothing. It was foolish, it was vain, it was wicked. It was not the kingdom of God, and it doesn't benefit you or anyone else. So God wants you to walk with him, and the fellowship of the church is that we have no offense toward anybody. And the only way you can do that is to die. The only way you could do that, the only way you could have fellowship with God and fellowship then with one another, and the God is first, you have to have fellowship with God first, and then fellowship with one another, is to allow God to show you your wickedness. And he just does it while you're worshiping. He does it while you're sitting. You know, he just shows you all of a sudden. You realize, you know what, I'm not living like he is. I need then to confess that. You don't have to hunt for it or look for it. Just ask God, God, if there's anything in my life that's wrong with you, that's wrong with myself, that's wrong with my family, that's wrong with my neighbor, that's wrong with my enemies, if there's anything in me, I want you to reveal it to me. Anyone want to do that right now? Betsy, go ahead. Yeah, just go ahead and say all that. Yeah, but I wanted you just to go ahead and say, God, if there's any wicked way in me. Because I was thinking of something. Now, really, God does all that. We don't do that. We don't find sins in other people. No matter what you think, it's not a gift of the Holy Spirit. So that is not.
I have that gift.
God wants to reveal that in the secret place. That's where only God sees your heart. We're not talking about outward sins, which are manifestations or symptoms. We're talking about the inward being, not in your heart, that you have a new heart, but in your soul. They're in the soul. They're in the self. And every day, you're born again once, but you have to die daily. And when you die every day, Paul says, I die daily. Not that I'm already perfect. I die daily. Until that trumpet sounds, there will be sin in our life. When the trumpet sounds, it's gone. But that day has not yet come. That day is soon, very soon. And I believe, I totally believe, by the word, but also by revelation, that God's coming soon. So he wants us all to be spotless. No blemish, no stain, nothing of this world. You can't go into heaven, which is all truth and all light, unless you begin on a daily basis now, but always humility, because you know you're not yet perfect. And he doesn't expect you to be. That's not something he wants, that you would be perfect. He wants you to have a process going on, which is not the work of Jesus on the cross, but it's the work of the Holy Ghost, who constantly every day dwells in us, lives in us, and then speaks to us as we're going about our lives. And when he shows you those as Christians, not the rest of the world, just us. We're the light, we're the salt. Yeah. So as he shows you those sins, there might be an offense that somebody holds towards somebody else just recently, could be months, could be years, could be decades. We sometimes bear things towards somebody for no reason at all. I know I've done it. And it's just there. It's, you know, I just never have liked you. It just comes up. And it's not for any reason. I can't even, you know, come up with a reason. I just don't. Amen? Those things just come. That's how we would be in the dark. That's how we would be. And God is not mad that you do that. He's not mad. He just wants to expose that. Moses exposes. He just wants to expose that. Say, that's not Christ-like. And then he doesn't want you to change. He doesn't want you to feel bad. He wants you to bring it to him and confess. Homologeo. Say the same thing he says. Lord, I have sinned. So one of your prayers each day, mine, every day, God, if there's anything in me that's wrong toward my wife, toward anybody, toward you, toward myself, I want you to expose that, because I don't want to walk in that. That commitment every day is a faith statement. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to understand it. You don't even have to want to do it. Just do it, because God said to do it. So as we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us So that's the first word. Now forgive, that particular word, that's in 1 John. That word forgive is aphiomai. Aphiomai means to let go or to untie or to loosen the bands or the burdens and send it away. Send it away. So to forgive somebody, maybe they owe a debt. Last night, I met with someone about six something, seven, I don't know. He owed me about $8,000. And God said, go over and tell him you owe me nothing. And I was forgive the sin. So that's what forgiveness means. You owe a debt he couldn't pay. There's no way he could pay it. And so I don't want you to pay it. As a matter of fact, what I want to do is give you something. How many of you know that we can do that? That's called kind of like having fellowship with Jesus and fill up his sufferings. Not suffering like being poor and being sick and so on. Suffering means to be able to get rid of the way you think and think the way he thinks. Renew your mind every day. And so to suffer with God really means don't lean to your own understanding. Just acknowledge him in all your ways. Everything you do and think and say and feel and so on. Everything. Jesus, what do you want me to say? What do you want me? I want to say what you want to say. Homo legeo. Speak the same thing you speak. I want to do the same thing you do. Now, that isn't just you thinking that up. That's where the Holy Spirit says, go. And go right now. And forgive that brother. I did. He's a real man's man. He knew that he owed it. He was prepared to, you know, do whatever. And when I told him, you can do what you want. I don't care what you do. But God told me, you owe nothing. He cried. He just broke down. Because he wanted to do something. He didn't want that. He swore at me even. He was so angry. Because he wanted to be a man and take care of his situation. But I said, you can do what you want. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what God told me. This is what I want to do. This is what God told me to do. Do y'all understand what I just said?
Yeah.
You don't owe me anything. Owe no man anything. That's death. That's death to the flesh. It isn't like, oh, I made a big sacrifice. It's that, no, I entered into his sufferings. That hurts God that we hold offenses toward one another or we have, you know, some burden I want to put on you or I don't want to untie you. But when you untie something, maybe his hands are bound, maybe his feet are bound, maybe he's shackled, maybe he's manacled. Untie that colt, let it go. Let it go free. Untie that goat, let it go out into the wilderness. So when we forgive somebody, we actually send them away from us, holding them, obligating them. Amen? Now, there could be somebody here. In fact, I'm certain it is somebody here. There could be somebody here today that's holding a fault against somebody who has harmed them, let them down. Could be a family member. Could be a stranger. But God doesn't want you to be burdened. He wants you to be free in this world. You're the temple of the living God. You've been purchased. You've been bought. He bought you with a price. You didn't pay, but he purchased you with his blood. And he said, now, I own you, and I want to forgive you of everything you owe. I mean, first thing I do that I bought you is I want to set you free. First thing I do. And that's the way God always starts. He always starts with the blood. He always starts with the mercy. The holiness of God through the mercy of the Son, through the power of the Spirit, to set you free forever. The holiness of God, you don't want to be in the holiness of God without the mercy of his Son or the power of his Holy Spirit. You don't have the power. You don't have the mercy. You don't have the holiness. But he uses that for your benefit, for your benefit, for your benefit. So he takes all the burden, gives you all the blessing. He takes all the burden, gives you all the blessing. So when that man was released last night, he cried. Not because of anything human. He just cried because, God, you're so good. That was what he was crying about, not what I had said and so on. But just simply, he wasn't responding to what I said. He was responding to Jesus, whom he'd been praying, God, what can I do? Every move I make is not going to work. He was just frustrated. Set him free. Now, I didn't do that because I knew that. I didn't think about it. I just did it because God said, do it. Then at 11 o'clock, I went to bed. I went to bed at 10. And I thought, good, I'll get a good night's sleep. We're going to worship in the morning. I have to be able to dance and keep awake. I'm going to have a good time. And the phone rang at 11, so I got an hour of sleep. And someone wanted to share something with me late. And I remember as I picked up the phone, I was thinking, praise the Lord. This is going to be wonderful. Now, that was a faith statement, because what I really want to do is sleep. But nevertheless, here's all I said. Hello. Something very inspiring. As a pastor would say, hello. And then for the next hour and a half, I said not a word. For the next hour and a half, as this person on the other end of the phone began to bitterly accuse and pour out her soul and was just naked, just completely raw of how she was ready to give up her faith. What's my life worth? I have no purpose to my life. I thought what I was doing was God. I know now I have nothing. I am nothing. I give up everything. And so she was just ready to accuse and so on and so forth. But I asked the Lord, Lord, what should I say? She's obviously disturbed, obviously emotional, obviously angry, obviously confused. But the Lord said, nothing. Don't say until I tell you what to say. Homo legeo. Say what I say when I say it, not when you want to say it. Okay? So an hour and a half later, after pouring out her soul, I knew she was going to have a kind of a close that would say, so what are you going to do? What do you say? And I was thinking, nothing. I was thinking nothing. But seeing her bondage, seeing her burden, that she was, you know, could commit suicide. And she might have been saying, you know, my life is over. That's what she was saying. And I've just failed at everything. I'm just tired. I'm just sick. I'm so full of hatred. And it's been 18 years, she said, that she's tried to do something and make something out of herself. And she had a messy situation, tried to fix it. So she was now done. And I knew I'm not supposed to say a word. I don't have a word from God, so I'm not going to speak. I'm a pastor. Of course, pastors always have some kind of word or scripture or something to say, a rebuke or a encouragement or something. And God said, say nothing. I'll tell you when to say it and what you're to say. So she finally said, well, what do you have to say? Are you going to give me an answer or what? No. That's what I said. No. So then she went on for another few minutes. And she said, so you must have some word from God. Tell me what it is. No. So that was my third word. Hello, no, and no. And as a pastor, of course, I have lots of things going on. But they were me. They were my. They would be something I would think of saying. I could correct this or say that or encourage this or be on her side or be, you know, show her a sin or whatever. Don't say a word. I haven't spoken. So then she finally just got silent. And she said, okay, could you just say what the Holy Spirit is telling you? That was powerful. Because I didn't do a thing. I just listened. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit put into my mind exactly what I was supposed to say. And I said, yes. This is what God is doing. You're over here, and this is what God is. He's over here. What you did 21 years ago was the right thing. And now that you're suffering and all kinds of bad things have happened, I am to tell you, keep doing exactly what you're doing and do not quit, give up, or be discouraged. What you did was right. Now it cost you everything. That's a good thing. Don't not finish this. You're looking over here, look over here. That's all I said. And I said, thus saith the Lord. Then she said nothing. But the Holy Spirit said, ask her if she wrote everything down that you just said. She had. So I said, read it back to me, what you got down. She read it. I said, that's the word of the Lord. I need to go to sleep right now. And so I went to bed. That woman was changed. Absolutely. I knew without a shadow of doubt that word that I gave, which wasn't my word, was God's word. That's what God wants. God wants the fellowship of the church to be based upon the fellowship of His. It says that we fellowship with His sufferings. We fellowship with His blood, the blood of Jesus. That forgives us, sets us free. But then we also want to enter into His sufferings, and that also sets us free. Then we also want to enter into His resurrection power. Now, I want to read that out of Philippians to show you that when you confess sin, Christian sin, a lot of teachers out there today say that, no, once you believe in Jesus, you're the righteousness of Christ, you don't sin anymore. And even if you do, just leave that alone. Don't lose your station, your standing, whatever. I don't believe that. And the reason I don't believe it is not because it isn't a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. It just isn't scriptural. The scripture says, confess your sins. So if you confess, he's talking to believers. He said, this is all 1 John. When you confess, He's faithful and just to do two things. First of all, to forgive your sins, plural, your sins. Second of all, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the difference between justification and sanctification, which leads to glorification. So when we're justified because of the blood, Jesus will forgive. He's faithful and just. He's not wrong to do it. He's not wrong to forgive sin. That's what the Father wants and we need. And what we delight in, we put our faith in that promise that when we confess, He will forgive and we can rejoice. That's the foundation of our worship. Worship has no meaning, no meaning at all, unless it's stemmed from and built upon that foundation of His blood that was shed for us on Calvary. That justifies us. But second of all, after you receive that gift, He has another gift, which to then is to show you on a daily basis, not just once for all, but daily, continually, constantly, anything in you that wouldn't be lined up with the love of God, anything that wouldn't be lined up with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, meekness, goodness, self-control. Those gifts of the Spirit are not earthy. Those are heavenly things. Those are heavenly things. When we manifest those, that's not us. That's God. All we do is see what He shows us, confess it, say whatever He says. Could be righteousness. Because of the blood, it is. But because of the Holy Spirit, He will show you something that's not correct as a bride who's about to be married to her bridegroom. She wants to be perfect. She doesn't want there to be any spot, any wrinkle. You don't do this to go to heaven. You do this so that others might go to heaven. So that others might be convicted by the truth of what you spoke, the salt, or by the light, the love, which you showed. But that's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not your work. But you are His only light and His only salt. He doesn't have any other. Jesus is the light, but He's in you through the Holy Ghost. So the Father's in the Son and the Son is in the Spirit through that fellowship that we have with Him. And therefore, He shows us the blood. Therefore, He shows us the power. He shows us the death to ourselves. He shows us the resurrection. That you might know Him, Philippians 3, verse 8. That you might know Him and the power of His resurrection. The Greek word for know is gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. What gnosis is, There's other words in the Greek, Edo, and so on and so forth, that talk about a different kind of knowing. This kind of knowing, to know him, means experientially, not intuitively, not in some human way that you know about him. This one is not just head knowledge. This was heart knowledge. Know him from the heart, heart to heart, spirit to spirit. You've been born again, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. Power is dunamis, like dynamite. It's something so explosive that it destroys everything that would weigh us down, burden us, or stand in our way. Take away all that weighs upon us. So God wants us to be absolutely free forever. To do what? To do nothing except to allow him to speak to us, to show us things, and then do what he shows, say what he says, will what he wills, and that is possible on this earth at this time. It's not postponed to heaven. Everybody thinks, well, when I go to heaven, and everything will be okay. The bad guys will go the other place, and I'm going to heaven. But that's not scriptural. It's a great idea. It's just not scriptural. What God wants is for you to be a light in this world, not in the next. Because men won't see your good works in the next. They won't even be there. Here's where they see it. When men see your good works, obviously then, that's the glorification side. But you could only have glorification if you had sanctification. You could only have sanctification if you had justification. So because of the blood, then the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, is first to kill you before you rise. I mean, only dead people resurrect. So you have to die in order to resurrect. So Jesus had to die so that shedding his blood, suffering, but it was a joy to him. That was a joy to him to be able to set free all mankind, knowing that most of mankind wouldn't accept it. They wouldn't want it, especially if it's tied to suffering. If it's tied to suffering, it just seems like the flesh is not into that. Amen. It just seems like there's enough flesh in all of us as Christians, even though you're born again, even though you could be filled with the Spirit from time to time. Nevertheless, there is still flesh that's left in us on a daily basis that offends us when Christians act in a way they're not supposed to act. And when I react in a way that I'm not supposed to react, because you did that. I wouldn't have done that. I mean, no, we're lying. He who says he has no sin makes God a liar. God says that we do sin continually. No, not continually. He says you act out a sin, but don't stay in it because the Holy Ghost immediately will convict you of that sin. And the Holy Ghost doesn't do that so you feel bad and change. He does that so you won't do a thing but be silent. And just confess your sin. God, that's true. I did that. I was jealous. I was envious. I did hate her, etc., etc., etc. That is the basis of our fellowship. Is then we do that, he lifts that burden off of us. He does it. The living God, the one that lives inside of us, the one that raised from the dead, now lives in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory, to set us free so that we can die. That death is the key. The minute you die, the second you die, the resurrection. You don't stay in that death. You don't stay miserable and sad. You let it go. You let it go. As easily as he forgave us. So easily, for the Holy Spirit, it's easy lifting. He will set you free so that you're free forever. Yes. And that's the church. That's the church. Let's not criticize some other church, some other teaching. That's how I read the New Testament. That's how I read. Now, I want to close then in reading this scripture in Philippians, the third chapter, starting at verse 8. Philippians. I'm going to Philippi over here. It's in here somewhere. All right. Yea, doubtless, Paul writes, I count everything, all things, but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, my Lord. I count everything for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them as but dung. So, the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus is everything else is dung. That's the way Paul talks. Paul says that because he's saying, let it all go. Don't be smart. Don't be strong. Don't be good. Let God do it. He wants to have a relationship before you perform anything. Because the performance isn't you. It's a new you, which is Christ in you, you. Not you, you. So he wants to kill off the old you so that he can then live a new you, which is married, yoked, zygos. That yoking is to put two oxen together. One is the lead ox, the other ain't. So the one that does all the pulling, the other one just tags along, gets all the blessing, and just that lead ox is the one that's going to determine where we're going to go. He governs. So the lead dog, the lead ox, the lead goat, the lead, you know, whatever. There's all kinds of ducks do it. Everything does it. There's one that gets in front and does all the flapping or all the whatever. And we just are along for the ride. And it's neat being the wife rather than the husband. Because the wife takes all the blessing while the husband takes all the burden. That's a good husband. How many know to have that, you'd have to marry a man that was dead. To get that kind of a husband, you have to marry a man that's dead. It's hard to kill him. Men have that. I don't know. There's something stubborn about men. Does anybody notice how unreliable men are? Thank you, Doris. Oboe, is that true? He's shaking his head. Must be true. So when we stay alive and don't lose our life, we don't live. That eternal life that he gave us through the power of the blood, that eternal life, aionios, zoein aionios, life everlasting, life eternal, only God has that. Bios life, our life. Jesus said, the fathers, they ate of the bread in the wilderness and died. They are dead. They don't have life. They had bios. They existed. But they didn't choose their essence correctly. So therefore, they died. The Jews have zeal. They have zeal, zestos. They're hot. They wanted to do something. But they did it in ignorance. They didn't have the knowledge. But for the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, that one, no other. That is how we're able then to walk according to eternal life. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So you are to have such a happy, such a joyous, such an incredible love, joy, peace life that everybody sees it and glorifies your Father, which is in heaven. They don't glorify you. They don't glorify you. They don't magnify you. They don't lift you up. If they do, you can easily correct them. It wasn't me. That was Jesus. Yeah, I know, but you... Yeah, no, no. That was Jesus. I know what I was thinking, feeling, wanting. It was different. How many know that in this world, the Lord is able to use whatever he wants to do whatever he wants to do, and he always gets his way? And he is going to have a church without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, a glorious church. That's us. That glorification is the end. The endurance is the sanctification. But the beginning is faith in the blood through that promise that said, if I come before God, though I have sinned, though I am sin, even so, it's gone. He sets you free. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, that the Jews would have known that. They did know it. But they knew it with head knowledge rather than heart. When you shall love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your might, strength, body. So God wants a perfect thing. Well, that's because he's perfect. How many know only God can do perfect? So that's why he hates all the dead works that we do. All the good things we do, they're a stench in his nostrils. They're a stench. He says, oh, did you do that? You put your fingerprint on that, right? I don't like it. But whatever God does is perfect. That's why he had to send his son Jesus to die on the cross so that we then could rely totally 100% on Jesus. So the best has been saved to the last. Well, here we are. We are now at the last day, and the church has hardly been for 2,000 years the light and the salt at the temple. I mean, we haven't been, but that's okay. Because he said that. He said it would be, especially in the last of the last of the last, the Laodicean church, the seventh church, the last church, would be lukewarm. So we shouldn't be at all surprised, but the fault lies not with the lukewarm church, but with the hot church that isn't. The hot church that isn't, because it didn't want to die. That's why the church doesn't want to teach suffering, because flesh doesn't like it. But God loves the smell of burning flesh. Just loves that. That is a sweet smelling savor. That's sweet to God. When you die, he liveth. He likes that. Because he doesn't want you to go your own way, to lean to your own understanding and not acknowledge him. Be dependent totally 100% on Jesus for everything. All your decisions, all your thoughts, all your feelings, everything, discard them if they are not in line with, if they do not conform to his death. The jewelry that we will wear as a bride on our wedding day will be what we suffered. Not suffer, but suffer in the sense of, I'm not going to listen to any other word but God. I will not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil further. That tree is the tree of death. This is the tree of life, yes. Right there. That dead tree is actually the tree of life. Because that's the foundation of our fellowship together as a church. It's easy to love the world out there and then skip the church, not discerning the body. When we fellowship together, when we koinonia, when we commune one with another, in that moment, you realize, I don't even know that person. I don't even care about that person. You need to know that there's someone here today that you should be blessed by or give a blessing to. Everybody. So that God arranges it by the Holy Spirit to notice everybody that's here. Now, it'd be easy to notice the group here because we don't know you. So we like you right away. But it'd be easy then to forget there are other people that have been here for years that I never walked up to and gave a scripture to or blessed or hugged or just, you know, in some way relieved them of a burden, forgave them. And particularly people that are obnoxious, you should look for some of those. I know two or three of them here. And if you would then look for someone that does not deserve to be forgiven and loved and shown mercy, that's the one that God notices. That's the one. So it's easy to just go in the flesh and not pray, not care, not do anything. Anyway, we haven't been born for that. We've been bought with a price. He now owns us. And he wants us then to serve him with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. Only he can do it, so let him do it. That's God's will. Now, how many know that God can't lie? He has to keep covenant. If he makes a promise, he has to keep it. We can lie all day long. Let God be true and every man a liar. So that's not a problem. So you can easily forgive people that lie because they lie in ignorance. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They were ignorant. The Jewish people will not go to hell or miss heaven because they killed Jesus. So even though the scripture actually says somewhere, you know, they were the ones that done him in. Could say the Romans did it instrumentally, but it wasn't that. The Bible's very clear. We all did that. We're all one. We're all alike. We like to cut other people off, but God doesn't like that. And so let's say we love the world, but we don't love the church. No, you can't do it that way. God actually wants you to have fellowship one with another based on your fellowship with him so that he can then kill your flesh so that you're free to love, so that you have that fellowship one with another, so that then the church is a light and is salt in this world, and the world will know. Why? Why will they know? Because you love them? No. The way they know that you're of God is because you love one another. So our fellowship in the church is not, I like that person or I don't like that person. The fellowship is stop thinking, stop figuring, stop feeling, stop. Just do what Jesus, show me whom I'm to bless today. I know I have a gift. I know I have something to give, even if I just go up and say, you know, God bless you. Even if I have just a scripture that I got something out of today. Hey, could I share this with you? You just share. Everybody has a gift, but we are not used to, we're used to the pastor up front performing. But really, you're the church. I'm not the church. I am just, you know, say what Jesus says kind of thing. It's costly. Yes. You have to throw away your life. When you lose your life, that's when you find it. So you're worth it. In my mind, that man yesterday that owes me all that money, who doesn't now, he's worth it. But he's not. I mean, if anyone looked at him, and he himself. He is so angry at himself for getting into a fix like that. And the woman last night, I mean, she was just complaining and hurt and bitter. She's bitter. And I knew pretty soon she's going to say me. Because they usually call the one that they think might survive my bitterness and my sinfulness, but when it really comes down to it, if you don't actually affirm them or something or show some kindness or something, they attack you because they came to you. I've told this story before. It's a good one. So once this lady called me and she said, you know, this and thus happened. Pastor, what can you do? I said, I don't know. Well, then what good are you? She said, I loved it. And then she hung up the phone. And I thought, that was brilliant. She was right on. That was brilliant. That was brilliant. What good am I? So, how many know we're no good apart from him? Amen. But in him, we can do all things. That lady, that particular lady today is awesome. One of our best members. Unbelievable. Now, I just want you to know that you don't know anything. You don't need to know anything. He knoweth. You don't want to know what good and evil is. You just want him to tell you, this is good, this is evil. Do this, don't do that. And he has to do that on a daily basis, not just written down in the Bible. On Thursdays do this and on Fridays do this. It isn't like that. It is that way in certain churches, in certain religions. But with God, he wants to have a eternal life, living fellowship with you constantly. That's your life. Your life is hid with God in Christ. That's where your life is. Your life isn't even here. Your eternal life is not here. However, since God lives in you and dwells in you, it's not I, Jesus said, that doeth these works. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. I'm not doing my works. I'm not as a son of God doing my works. I could. I'm God. I could be good. But why do you call me good? Is it because you thought I was God? Or is it because you thought I was just a good man? There ain't any such thing. So you're the temple. He picked the wrong temple. Why? Because there's no goodness. There is no real worship and joy and peace and so on unless God gives it to you as a free gift and you take it. You don't have to take it. It's free. If you want to, you can take it. If you want to stay in the prison cell, you can stay. I mean, no, most people want to stay. It's easier to stay than it is to be free, and then you're afraid, if I follow God, maybe the devil will come after me. Maybe. Of course he will. He don't want to lose a good customer like you. The devil is going to come after you. So what? He that is in you is greater than he that's in the world. You just laugh at him. I'm telling you, the devil has no power over us, Jesus said, and Jesus is in us. When he sees us, he sees Jesus. Now, if he sees us, he has some. There he could take me easily. That's why he wants to kill me every day, so he cannot. Because if I'm dead, then he can't kill me. So if I'm dead unto sin and dead unto this world and I don't want anything here and I'm not looking for anyone to give me anything at any time, but I just simply want to please him. I just simply want to walk with him. Why? Because he said that's what I want. I didn't know I wanted that, but he said it. He said, what you're looking for is me. I'm everything you're looking for. This is not your idea, it's my idea. So therefore, I shed my blood for you. Shows you how valuable you are, how much dignity, value, and worth you have in my sight. That while you were yet a sinner, busy in the sin, I loved you. I forgave you. I set you free. What a risk God took. Because I've been knowing the church for the last 2,000 years hadn't done all that well. And if you listen carefully to what's going on, it's pretty depressing, actually. They've just been humanized again and again and again, as they always have been. But yet God said, I will have a bride without spot. And I'm going to present her because I'm the one in charge. He's the one that makes sure that we are going to make it as a bride. I will present her as a pure, spotless bride. Amen? That's the signal right there. You've said enough. That's it. All right. You can read it for yourself. Verse 8 through 13. Philippians 3, verse 8 through 13. It's talking about what I just talked about. It's powerful. God is good.